Well, what is the benefit of studying the book of life? Let me show you this. Start in John 14. And I want to show you, and I'll underline this, and I always hate to disagree with people I deeply admire, but I have to say that in just a minute I'm going to show you the great saints that believe you can be erased from the book of life and you can't be. And of course, I believe you can't be, and I believe it's the eternal role of God's elect, unchanging before the foundation of the world. But no matter which side you're on, the blessing is that those who are in heaven are written in the book of life and they're citizens of heaven. And here are the benefits of being in that book, which I believe all of us who are truly born again are in. But look at John 14 and verses 1 through 3. First of all, the book of life is a promise of eternal permanence. We never will cease to exist because we are securely a part of God's family. Look what Jesus said, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't always be worrying about what's going on and are you going to make it or not. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And if Jesus said, wait here, I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to get you. He's not going to come back and say, sorry, I'm not going to take you now. See, that's not how he operates. And so it's a promise of great security, an eternal, permanent dwelling with God. That's who the inhabitants of heaven are and who is written in the book of life. Keep turning to John 17, because Jesus was the biggest cheerleader for having a secure salvation. He's always underlining it when he spoke about it. John 17, 24. The book of life, secondly, is a promise of eternal intimacy. We are a love gift from God the Father to his Son, the Lord Jesus. Look at this. Father, I will they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Do you see what's going on here? This book of life, this eternal registry of the elect, God, and you say, how can he do this and be fair? God is just. He doesn't have, you know, humans, we kind of are balancing out. We say, well, don't want to slight anybody, got to do a little here, a little there, don't want anybody to be upset at me. Because we're evil, basically born sinners. We're always trying to be fair. God, everything he does is right. Before Jesus created the world, God sat down with him and said, I love you so much, I'm giving you a love gift. I am giving you a group of people as my gift to you. And he wrote their names down. But it says it right there. Look at verse 24. You loved me before the foundation of the world. And at the beginning of the verse, I will they also whom you gave me be with me where I am. Before Jesus spoke and the universe came to existence, God says, I'm going to give you a love gift. I'm going to give you a group of people. They are the called. They are the chosen. They are the ones that I have given to you as a gift. And their names are written in your book. Now to us, it's just, it doesn't fit. It isn't fair. But it's what God says. Keep looking at Romans 8, because he talks about it all the way through. And by the way, once you get away from our normal human uneasiness with this, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. And we're going to talk about how you can get into that book, because that's a miracle too. But look at 17 of Romans 8. Because the book of life, thirdly, is a promise of eternal adoption. It says, Romans 8, 17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. See, we are joint heirs. We've been adopted in the family as full-blooded members of the family. Eternal adoption. We were chosen by God, given to Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes out working in our heart and puts the spirit of adoption in us, and we cry, Father, Father. We see our Father is in heaven, not the God of this world, who we were born into his family as human sinners. Now, back to Revelation 3:5, and I want to go through this real quick and finish it. Look at Revelation 3:5. The book of life is finally a promise of eternal welcome. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes, that's a born-again person, shall be clothed in white garments. We wear the righteousness of Christ. And I will not blot his name from the book of life. That's a promise of eternal welcome, that we will never be rejected. But, listen to this, I will confess, Jesus said, his name before my Father and before his angels. Now think of what that means. That's one of the most unbelievable promises in all the Bible. In your mind, imagine that moment. Jesus, with nail-scarred hands outstretched, welcomes us through the door of death. That's why death is not to be feared and dreaded and avoided at all costs. Death is when Jesus' nail-scarred hand reaches through the door of death and leads us through the valley of the shadow of death and takes us home. He welcomes us. He walks us through the dark valley. He takes us to glory, not as a fluttering host that slips away. Jesus doesn't just drop us. You ever been at a party and the host or hostess comes, they say, oh, welcome in, and they disappear. They go back to the party and you're kind of walking around all alone. That's not how heaven is. Jesus himself walks us down the golden streets. He will lead us up the main street by the river of the water of life. As all the saints of all the ages look on in wonder, as again Jesus leads one of his precious blood-bought brothers and sisters up to meet their Father in heaven. And then, on a throne in blazing light, with that river of fire we saw last week flowing out before him, with billions of angels standing around him, the Ancient of Days looks down at his beloved Son walking toward him, and us walking by his side. And there, holding on to the hand of Jesus, we hear him call us by our new name, the one he gave us, our name in heaven. And standing there before the throne, God will hear Jesus present us by name to him as the Father, as the precious child of Jesus, bought and purchased and safely brought home. And he confesses us before the Father. I'll tell you what, that's a great promise. And everyone written in his book will make it to heaven. Everyone will be greeted and brought up. And Jesus said, I personally will confess you as my child to God the Father. And you will dwell with me forever and ever. Well, this means the book of life is a promise of eternal glorification. What indescribable joy it will be to hear what the Father says. We already know what God will say when Jesus confesses us before him. He will say, bring the best robe and put it on them. And think of it, standing in heaven with a robe of white, bright as the day, pure as light. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed us that when he was transfigured. Something happened not only to his face, but something happened to his clothes. And he became white as the light. And that will be the reward for faithfulness. To have that robe draped around our shoulders and to be invited to walk in shining glory as a citizen of heaven.